The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let me lie. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
I gotta be honest, I came into this week relatively unbothered by the Jags. I didn't like seeing them get blown out on Monday because you're always worried about the snapback from a team who got embarrassed and what they'll do to correct the situation. They're 0-3, embarrassed. I didn't like that, but for the most part, I thought, you know, the Jags are coming to town. They're not good. I don't believe in Trevor Lawrence. This is a bounce back week for the Texans. They'll get it done. And then the injury report comes out on Wednesday. You're like, okay, Tank Dell didn't practice. Thursday's the big day. We'll see. He didn't practice yesterday. Nico Collins pops up with a limited designation because of a hamstring. The Nico thing feels a lot like, unless we get a full designation today, I feel like Rappaport or Cameron Wolf or one of those guys will come out and go, well, Nico Collins is going to test out that hamstring in workouts, and that'll determine in his pregame workout to determine whether he's going to play or not. I feel like that's coming down. Feels like a real game time decision. Now you've got two of your three top wide receivers questionable or simply not even practicing, and then you have your two top running backs not practicing. I feel less great about the game. The Texans can still win, partly because of the quality of the opponent. But I'm not saying I'm nervous, because who knows what happens when we see the report today. Possibly Tank Dell's back at practice, likely in a limited fashion, but with a note that says maybe from Aaron Wilson that he's expected to play, and maybe Nico Collins is back to full. Yesterday was just a precaution. I don't feel good, though. I need those two to be out there, because then we're talking about the likes of who are we elevating? Mechie, Hutchinson, Robert Woods. For all you guys who put together your John Mechie preseason TikToks and compilation things you put on Twitter talking about Mechie is a problem, get ready to break him out possibly. This might be your day on Sunday. Your messy stock, if you kept it, you might have a chance to see it skyrocket.
Mechie season?
Possibly. Hutchinson season, who had a good preseason. These are the guys we might be depending on. The names are a little less exciting than what we thought, but that's where we are. It is week four of the NFL season, and the Texans don't have like injuries that feel like they're long lasting. It's just that they're nagging and troublesome. And when you're trying to bounce back from an ugly loss, you like to be at full strength. Some other guys who you are going to count on, Kenyon Green was ill. But he was back at practice, full go. So expect him back. Dalton Schultz, he's dealing with an ankle thing, but he's back, full go. So you do have some guys you can expect to play, but the big names, the guys you expect to maybe rectify a situation with this offense where it's supposed to be explosive, but it has not been the case through the last 2 weeks. They are question marks. What is it, two touchdowns in their last two games? Obviously,
it was one last week.
And the Bears, they kicked a lot of field goals, only scored 19 points. Yeah, it's been two touchdowns the last two games. Not exactly what we were looking for.
No, not the recipe for success that we thought.
No.
Although, watching the game last night, are field goals back in?
Well, Brandon Aubrey missed one that could have affected some people's betting, but the Giants kick field goals. That's what they do. No, field goals are never in. Like
feel like they're back in this year.
When were field goals ever really in for people? Like they are a necessity at times. They are needed in a late game situation. You love a clutch field goal kicker, but for the most part, a field goal is like you're settling. You're settling. That's why they say settle. Don't settle for field goals in your life.
But take the points.
Well, if it's fourth and eight from the 20, yes, you take the points. But you're still settling because the thought was once you were inside the 30-yard line, you're like, oh, it's touchdown time. That's what people believe, even though they've seen their team play for like 14 weeks and they know their team doesn't score a lot of touchdowns. But when you get inside the 30, the hope is we're going to score a touchdown here. But so, no, field goals have never been in unless you're Adam Vinatieri. Or a field goal kicker in the clutch, like what's his name, Harrison Butker. That's when field goals are in. Playoffs, late, field goals are in. Any other time, stop settling for field goals. You can't win games when you settle for field goals.
When you're down two with 2 minutes left, field goals are back in.
It's like saying the girl who's your fifth choice is in. Is she in, or did
she might
you
be in?
Or the guy who, depending on who's listening and what your preferences are.
It's the 2-minute warning. It's like game's tied.
It's like the person who's your fifth choice. She's in only because you have to settle. He's in only because you had to settle.
But take the points.
Yes. In that case, you are taking points. It's not what you're looking for, but you take them.
Don't settle for a three. Don't, is what you're saying?
There it is.
Go for six.
There it is.
Go for a six.
If you can. I mean, not all of us are privy. There are certain tiers everyone's in. Not everyone is going to get maybe a six and go for two and get an eight. Not everyone's going to be able to do that. Not everyone's as aggressive as, like, I don't know, some college coach who loves having the swinging gate on extra points or just goes for two because he wants to. Some of us have to settle for a seven if you want to call that settling. So I need the Texans to strive for a seven. And go get yourself a seven. Touchdowns is what we're looking for. But the guys who helped them do that are currently hampered by a couple of injuries. The Tank Dell thing came up in conversation because he was out there late. That's where the injury occurred. And people are asking, why is one of your starting receivers still playing in the game? I guess the one thing you could say is somebody's got to play. I guess you can go to two wide receiver sets and just use your fourth and fifth if you so choose. But Tank was like, hey, I can get some targets. I can get my stats up. And now he might not be available.
Help out my fantasy football owners, you know.
Or CJ's not really targeting me. Let me get some catches in. I like to touch the football. And that resulted in something that may hamper him on Sunday. I don't know, Audio Owl, if all of Sean's bandanas are in the laundry. He will wear a hat from time to time.
Yeah, I'll mix it up.
Yeah, he'll wear a hat, particularly when it's one that commemorates one of the greatest moments in his young life.
Yes, and yeah, they're not all in the laundry, but
some of them are.
Yeah.
He will wash clothes.
I rotate.
And you got to realize, I don't know if, Sean, have you announced your big life move to the people? Or are you going to keep that to yourself for now?
I don't think I have. But yes, I am moving.
Yeah, so Sean's got to pack stuff away. But I don't think the bandanas are taking the hit there. They just need to be cleaned. That's all.
Yeah.
You'll see a bandana maybe on the bullpen, maybe on Monday. You never know. But Sean won't be here on Wednesday because of that move. We will have – I won't call that person a special guest. They're just a producer. There's none – never mind. I'll keep my good-natured hate to myself. But we will have a producer in line to replace Sean as Sean gets his move in. And Sean Mapes will be back on that Thursday. So So just some itinerary stuff for Sean. If you want to know what Sean's about and what he's up to, he's got a big life move coming up here. Moving. Are you move? Is this the?
I think you said moving on up. No.
This is the furthest. Well, a deluxe apartment, but maybe not in the sky or deluxe. Is this?
But I will walk in like I'm George Jefferson.
Do a little strut. And maybe he's got a cul-de-sac. That's why he's always wearing hats and bandanas. Maybe he's exactly like Sherman Hemsley. So is this the furthest you've lived from, you said the Loop, is that what you said?
Yeah.
So Sean is branching out a little bit. He'll have an apartment. None of you are invited.
No.
Because you're probably all threes and he's not settling.
Yeah, I was going to say. Unless you're seven.
Unless you're
seven or higher.
Seven or higher.
Looking for touchdowns.
Yeah, that's what he's looking for. Housewarming gifts are welcome. You won't be able to get into the house, but you can give him a gift if
you
want.
My address.
No, but if you want to send a gift to the station,
do that
if you so choose to welcome to warm Sean's new place. You can do that if you so choose, if you're that generous. Okay, we will come back with sound from Bobby Sloat. He's a guy. He's not under fire, but people have questions for him. He discussed a couple things that have been topics of conversation this week, considering the lack of performance from his offense, and really the first play of the game people were questioning, and since he let that happen again, the tight end blocking the defensive end, that was a topic and a question he had to speak to. So we'll come back with some Bobby Sloak sound, and we'll keep talking Texans, because I do have other things that concern me about the game beyond the lack of weapons. There are some intangible things that the Jags may have in their favor if they are still a team who cares about this season. And we'll get into what happened last night in the Thursday night game. Sean mentioned all the field goals. Well, some big injuries happened in that game. So we've got plenty to get to, a college football weekend to discuss. And this is being positioned as a game that can determine the Heisman Trophy. And I got a question about that, because I don't really buy that considering the two defenses involved. But we'll get into that as well. So we're just getting started here on the show. Sean and I will be here till noon. We'll be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
It was Bobby Sloak's time in front of the medium at the podium yesterday. He answered questions on several topics, but the one that popped up that a lot of people had interest in is, why are you leaving your rookie tight end on a defensive end? It is a relevant question. It blew up the first play of the game. I'm not saying it led directly to the pick on the second play, but if you had a better blocker on that play that got called back for holding, maybe you're off and running. Does it change the entire game? I don't know. If that play goes the way you thought it would go, you're in a position to almost immediately score points, because you got a chunk play on the first play of the game. And maybe you're not behind throughout. Yes, it's only one play, but it could have led to a productive Texans drive. Instead, it led to a pick on the next play, and the Vikings are up early in that one. So Bobby Sloak asked about having tight ends block D-ends. Here was his response.
About tight ends blocking D-ends, and I used to be on defense, so I get it. You know, like a coach outside linebackers, and it was always, can't believe they have a tight end blocking you. Like, that's embarrassing, you know, and all that. But really, everyone in the NFL does that. You know, you have to have variety in protections. You got to be able to do things with your front to help the front out when teams are gaming, so you're not just 5-0 all the time. You also got to be able to go 5-0 often and get the tight end out. You got to be able to do full turns where a tight end and a back are both in. Like, there's everyone does multiple protections. It really shows up when you don't execute them well, you know. And there were a number of times, you know, we had some tight ends in position on D ends that we didn't even have the right footwork from the start. you know, and that's going to be a really tough down. We know the issue when we call the protection. I would say starting point is on me. I probably did it too much, and particularly too much too early. But it's a difficult defense to go against, and we got to be able to handle different ways of attacking it.
That final thing is the point. Bobby Slowick is correct. He isn't unique in asking a tight end to block a DN. But did you call it too much after you knew it wasn't going well? Yes. I don't want to strictly blame him for the first play because you know what? Cade Stover's out there. Do your job. He didn't do his job, and then you learn your lesson. Cade Stovers can't do his job in that slot. So do something else. And when you keep calling it and he keeps getting abused, it blows up plays. When do you learn that not today? Not today, not against this opponent, it ain't gonna work. I would hope for a better reaction time from Bobby Slowick. You know what? I'm gonna dial this up again. It can't go bad another time, right? Yes, it can. Yes, it can, and it did. So don't do it anymore. So if he's learned and maybe I can't dial that up anymore against that opponent, all it takes is one time for Bobby Slowick to know going forward, because it wasn't the case on Sunday, last Sunday. He kept trying it. It kept not working. And it was a disaster, and it led to people asking Cade Stover yesterday about it. And he goes, hey, we're on to Jacksonville, okay? That's behind us.
You know it's bad when people are still asking about it on Thursday.
Yes. Well, it's the first time they got a chance to speak to him, and you would hope, Bobby Slowick's like, I hope they forget.
I hope it's all Jacksonville related.
Yeah, I hope it's all Jacksonville. Like, I know they get to talk to me once. That's how we set it up here. But it's Thursday. They can't possibly still be talking about this, right? Wrong. Wrong. People wanted answers from you, and you had to give it to them. Yeah. To the tooth. So Bobby Slowick had to answer questions. And that needed to be asked. I'm glad someone did. What are you doing? And as I said, he's not the only one. You're going to see it this week. You're going to see a tight end block a defensive end. And if it goes well, you're not going to think about it. I don't know if it'll happen for the Texans. I hope it's not Allen Hines against Cade Stover again. You know what? He's not Grenard. It can't possibly go as poorly as it did last week. You know, let's try it again.
Let me try to get this one off.
Yeah.
They won't see it coming.
Yeah. Josh Allen Hines isn't even all that pissed off at us like Grenard is.
Okay, maybe not Hines Allen. Trayvon Walker? How do you like a little Cade Stover in your kitchen?
Probably would like it very much because I don't have to go against the tackle. Cool. And he also mentioned probably shouldn't have done it early. I was thinking about that. You know, you want to mix that in on the fourth play of a drive, where maybe Grenard is off the field because he's going through plays at a time, or he's not as juiced up as he is on the first play of the game.
First play of the game is crazy.
It's nuts. That guy is flying off the edge, and he sees a rookie tight end in his face, and we know we heard the quotes from him or read the quotes, depending on who you are and how you got that information, that it was disrespectful what they did to me. You had a rookie tight end on me. That's disrespectful.
He's right.
Yes. And you know what? Grenard doesn't like disrespect, and he proved it. Yeah, it is Josh Hines Allen, as Sean, I was giving it the Allen Hines treatment. So I'm going to need Bobby Slowick to, if he's going to mix that in at some point, maybe we'll do it to a backup Jags defensive end after Hines Allen has been on the field for four or five plays and he's taking a break. Do it then. Maybe mix it in then. Learn. All I need for him to do is learn his lesson. If he learns his lesson, cool. We know a guy who's not stubborn, because he was stubborn in the game against the Vikings. Okay. There are more questions that we'll get to as far as the Texans are concerned, because they weren't done with Bobby Slowick. While he mentioned execution and lack thereof, he didn't. That normally sounds like you're talking about the players. He also mentioned the coaches and their lack of execution. So we'll get to that at some point. We talked about Hines Allen and the Jags front. That's concerning to me beyond having tight ends block them. Can that Texans offensive line keep CJ clean? There's been practice all week without Tank Dell and with Nico being limited, so he's had some rapport with the backup wide receivers. But if those backups have to play, maybe things aren't running as smoothly out there as far as their connection trying to get them the football. So I'm going to need the offensive line to hold up a little bit. Maybe it's a little – a hitch happens in CJ's in CJ's delivery because he's waiting on a guy to be a place that like a Collins or Tank Dell would normally be. The offensive line has to hold up. And sure, you're going to get beat. As people say, those guys get paid too. But you can't get beat as cleanly as you've been getting beat all season long. The number of times a free rusher has come in on CJ Stroud, too many. Beyond the sacks, just disrupting offense. And we're getting to the point where CJ, just because of how quickly guys are getting in, he's not even escaping the pocket. He didn't do a lot of that against Minnesota. It's that whole cower in the pocket, almost fetal position thing where you protect your body when you know it's coming in. I've seen enough of that all year as far as the Texans are concerned. That's got to stop where you don't even give your guy a chance to make a play. And we know he's capable of that, escaping the pocket and making a play. But guys have been getting in so quickly. That's been off the table. Can that Texans offensive line hold up? They're under scrutiny. You know the package on CBS is going to be about what happened in Minnesota. Now, they won't see it, but we're all going to see it for anyone who's not going to game. The number of false starts, the illegal formation penalties, that will be a topic very early.
A lot of the last week's stats for Stroud and the rushing game and all that stuff.
If you're not prepared for it, I'm preparing you now. You're going to see a highlight package, or a low light package in this case, of all the things the offensive line did wrong against Minnesota. And they have to respond. We know D'Amico said things have been addressed. And he said, we got to see what happens on Sunday. He did say they had a good day of practice on Wednesday. He said it on Wednesday. We played the sound on Thursday. So I hope so. I hope so. Because you're likely not going to have your top two backs. And you may it looks like at least one of your top receivers won't be available, and it could be two. So what's that mean? It's going to be tougher on your quarterback, so your offensive line has to play better. Can they do it? I'm a little concerned. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little concerned.
If it was either the running backs or the wide receivers out, I could deal with that. The fact that it looks like both of them, like both Akers, Mixon, along with Collins, seems pretty 50-50. Tank Dell seems worse than 50-50 to play. That gives me some worries.
And you throw in the intangible of the Jags, desperate as hell. Going 0-4, now we're talking about, I don't know what's going on in Jacksonville as far as sports talk. I drove through Jacksonville on my vacation. Whole lot of nothing in that town. And that's not just me criticizing that. Now, my cousin, who drives through there all the time, he has a son who lives there, says, yeah, there's nothing here.
Oh, okay.
There's nothing here. It's a giant swath of land. It's spread out, but there's nothing to do in Jacksonville. So all they have to do is sit there and wallow about what happened. Can't even distract themselves. All they got to do, we live in Jacksonville, and we're getting our asses kicked. I don't need that intangible coming to town. Well, we're pissed off. Even more pissed off than normally because I live in Jacksonville.
They're doing it for the city.
That boring-ass city
that
they live in.
They're putting on for their
city. They're putting on for that boring, nothing-to-do city that they live in. I don't like that intangible. You got embarrassed on Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
We're talking about people losing their jobs, questioning everything that was built there, the roster, the coaches. They're going to come in. Unless they're broken, I don't think you're broken in week four. Particularly if you had expectations. You think you have a chance to turn around against an offensive line, particularly if you're that Jags front, that may be able to give us some sacks. So the intangibles go the Jags way, although the Texans are coming off an embarrassing loss themselves. So they have that going for them, I guess. But give CJ some time. If I had more confidence in the offensive line, I would feel pretty good about this game. I think the Texans win. I'm just nervous. Nervous in the sense that it'll be another week of talking about bad Texans football.
And then they play the Bills.
Yes.
Who look like the best team in the league.
Yeah, you are one bad 60 minutes of football away from staring 2-3 in the face. That's not what we expected coming in.
Yeah, let's win this one.
Just how about we do that?
Give you a little cushion.
Yes, how about we do that? Okay, so we got Texans-Jags. Coming up here on Sunday. If you want to talk about anything related to that game or anything else, you can call in 713-780-3776. 3776. I mentioned this yesterday, and I'm not great at always getting the things I mention because we get callers who distract, and the show distracts me, just the normal course of the show. But we do have the pitching rotation, at least the first two guys, for the Astros, and what it actually means as far as who's going to be on that roster. We'll get to that. And we'll get to some passing numbers in the NFL. So if you had questions about C.J. Stroud and what he is right now, he's not alone as far as the passing numbers. We're talking historically as far as numbers being down across the league. So we'll get to that too. We got a big college football weekend, and we got tickets to give away. We got a pair of tickets to give away to Iowa State and Houston. The Cougs are in town. We had Willie Fritz on the station earlier in the day. So be ready to get to... Be ready if you want to go to that game. We're going to give that away at some point today, too. We're just getting started here on the show. We'll be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Neil Blanco goes tonight for the Astros in the 6:10 start, and Justin Verlander goes tomorrow at 5:10. Now, that's in the middle of college football Saturday, so I don't know how many eyes will be on a game that doesn't matter that much, but it is likely Justin Verlander's last start. He could be on the divisional roster, but he's not expected to be on the wild card roster, and of course, we're assuming the Astros get through the wild card, and we should. They're the Astros. But, Sean, will you pause your college football watching to tip your cap to Verlander at some point as he exits the mound? Will he? Okay, let's think about this beyond my silliness. Will the Guardians fans understand the moment and go, this could be it?
I don't know. With him being a former Detroit Tiger,
probably not likely.
Yeah. I can't imagine they love Justin Verlander.
See, and we're talking about it in the sense that he won't be an Astro again. But is this his last start as a major league pitcher?
No.
No, you think he's coming back?
Yeah, he'll come back.
He doesn't want to go out like this?
Yeah, yeah. And someone will have a spot.
Oh, I don't think Major League Baseball would be like, we're done with him. I was suggesting that maybe it's just his choice that, I'm done. But your thought about him saying, I don't want to go out like that, I can see it.
Also, the Guardians are going to make the playoffs, right?
Yes, they won the division, yeah. Yes.
So, it could be a guy that they're playing in the playoffs.
That's true. It's true. What, you know,
a week?
As much as we consider him an Astro, the Tigers are pretty good now. Why not, if he's going to pitch again, give him a little,
I'm coming home.
I'm coming back, yeah. It seems like as long as they're not bad feelings, I don't know what he thinks about the Tigers now, but it's not like he'd be joining a wreck of a team.
Yeah.
He could find his way back to Detroit if that's what he wants to do, yeah. And they'd be a good baseball team.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll give him some moment. I mean, I'm sure they won't be like vitriolic towards him because this is a game with two teams that
are locked
into their seating. So I don't know if there's going to be like a... I don't think they're going to stop the game, but I also don't think they're going to boom him out of the stadium.
Will people applaud him as he's walking off? But, yeah,
there is some polite applause. Because if you're at this game, like you mentioned, it's in the middle of a college football Saturday. It's two teams that really have nothing to play for. You're a real baseball head if you're at this game.
Yeah, I assume Cleveland Guardian fans are passionate and they just want to see their team play. It's still a baseball game, and it doesn't mean much, but maybe you just want to enjoy a nice day out at the ballpark.
Unless there's some intense feelings that Cleveland has towards Justin Verlander that I don't know about because they're in the same division for 15 years.
Yeah, I can see it. And there isn't a lot of talk about him never playing again, so it's mostly about his time with the Astros being up and not being on the playoff roster. So maybe it doesn't register that this could be his last start because it likely may not be his last start.
But to answer your question, chances are.
You're not tipping your cap to Verlander? No, in the game.
Yeah, I'll
not
get it
now.
Out of the way first.
No.
No, just... And then date this for tomorrow.
No, this is, you can't schedule a hat tip. You can't schedule.
I would like to tip my hat. You know, thank you, Justin Verlander, for all you've done.
But. That is very nice of you to recognize what he's done for the city and for you personally.
Yeah.
All the enjoyment he's provided for Sean Mapes.
You know what? I'll also schedule one for when he signs with a different team.
You're going to tip your cap when he signs with the Tigers?
Yeah. I'll be like, you know, no hard feelings. Thank you.
How many do you want to get out of the way so you don't have to do it at the moment? How many do you want to do right now? All the scenarios like you have to go through. So to make sure you have done enough so you don't have to remember to do it when the time actually happens.
If we're at the World Series parade, just it's number three.
If you guys aren't watching, Sean is actually taking his hat off and tipping it to every time he says he's doing it. He's actually doing it because he just wants to schedule these like tweets.
Just get him banked.
Yeah. For
make sure to wear a black shirt.
I don't know
again.
The final day of the season. November 4th at when's the party? November 6th at 2 p.m. This hat tip is scheduled for then.
Just cut it in.
Yeah. Just splice it in.
We'll have Sam clip all these.
Hat tips. I hope they're not needed. I hope he does get the pitch in the postseason at some point. Just doesn't seem likely with his performance the last month and a half. But we'll see what he has in store on Tuesday. On Saturday. Not because it's going to determine anything, but I just like to see him go out well. Not the guy we saw or barely saw on Friday because we were at the party. And all I heard was some groans. I was like, what are people groaning? Oh, Verlander's out there doing the Verlander thing for the last month. We had a TV out there in the lobby while we were having our listener party. Turns out, the Astros were willing to score a lot of runs, so it didn't matter. But he was not good in his last start. We hope you get a different performance on Saturday as the Astros are closing out the regular season. And, of course, whoever they face, I know that was a topic of discussion on the show this morning. I was like, I don't care. Whoever comes in here, just take your ass beaten, all right? Just come in here, get beat up, and walk out of here wishing you never played the Astros.
I want the Royals.
I think that was the prevailing thought
Tigers,
on the morning show.
Tigers are playing with too much.
What if they're peaked? What if they peaked? How about they've peaked?
No. I think they'll roll it over.
Hmm.
And AJ Hinch revenge game.
AJ Hinch owes the Astros.
Revenge game.
Eight outs away. Revenge. Eight outs away. We should be mad at you. Not you mad at us. You put
Carlos Beltran and Jeff Luhnow tarnished his name.
No, you tarnished your reputation by running Will Harris out there.
He's like, you forced me to destroy TV one time.
And still didn't stop anything. I just wanted to let everyone know I was upset with this, but I'm not going to do anything to stop it. Sure.
Therefore, I'll have my revenge.
Sorry you got bullied by Carlos Beltran. You're the boss of him, and you let him bully you. Sorry. Some would say. Be a man.
Whoa.
Step up. If you got a problem with it, this is all in the hypothetical that he's bitter that you set up. I don't know that that's the case. He might be upset with the organization up top, although Luno's not around, and he might think he's the blame for it all.
Like,
but Jim Crane's still there.
He scapegoated me.
Oh, Luno got scapegoated too. Jim Crane is the one I guess he would have his issue with. But yeah. Oh, I broke a couple of things. So I was upset.
Revenge.
It's not revenge. It's not revenge. How long was he out of baseball?
A year.
And no one even blames AJ Hinch. Think around baseball, people are like, man, AJ Hinch was the lead of that cheating scandal. No one says that.
Because everyone knows he was morally against it.
He let everyone know. He let everyone
he
know.
Let everyone
know. Yeah, he told everyone, I didn't like it. I just didn't stop it. He came out almost unscathed. Like what?
Everyone came out almost unscathed.
That's true. The Astros had to take the heat on the road and all that stuff. But as far as guys whose reputations were tarnished, AJ Hinch's reputation wasn't tarnished.
The only people that were tarnished was like just the Astros organization, like literally just the people in the jerseys and in the hats, even if you weren't on the 2017 Astros.
Yeah, and if you were and now play for someone else, no one cares.
And Carlos Beltran,
yes.
Who actually lost his job.
He did lose the job, yes. He took a hit, certainly. in your hypothetical.
Everyone else is just kind of back where they started.
Yeah, AJ Hinch is managing and has a good baseball team again.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel so bad for him.
I guess maybe Jeff Luhnow, too.
Yeah, he is out of baseball. Doing well in other ventures, but yeah. He is the one who has taken the biggest hit. Him and Beltran, probably, you look at and go, woof, really came down hard on you guys. Should have checked your email better, yeah. Jeff, I
Astros
guess.
Farm System, too.
And they wanted it to be known. I talked about it yesterday. We're not as bad as you think we are.
I saw those quotes after the show. Cooper Hummel talking that talk.
Cooper Hummel, relax.
Being like, I see what MLB Pipeline has us as.
I know.
Yes, I think he actually said it.
They're all aware. They're aware.
He said it's bull bleep.
Cooper Hummel, you're 29 years old.
Nope. We got some good baseball players in here.
Yes, if you are playing at the AAA level, you're a good baseball player. Relative to the rest of the world, you're a great baseball player compared to the rest of the world. Yes,
you're probably the best baseball player like a random person has ever met.
Yeah, Cooper Hummel walking into an HEB, you're probably a top five baseball player who's ever walked into there. It's likely.
Yeah, as long as you're not the one like near.
As long as you're not the one that the Astros go to all the time.
Near where Altuve lives.
Yeah, if he even goes to an HEB, despite. I'm sure he does. He's in all the commercials. I'm sure he goes to an HEB. Of course he does. But Cooper Hummel, yes, you're a good baseball player. But you being 29 isn't helping the Astros rankings. Sorry, it's just not how it works. They're not looking at you and going, wow.
Okay. Get that same energy when they win the championship.
Yeah, they did win the PCL championship. You could have heard that on 92.5. And they're going for the AAA championship in a one-game playoff on Saturday. You know who won't be available is DeCenzo. He's being called up. So that really hurts.
But that's what Sugar Lane's been doing all year. They
overcoming.
Yeah. All these guys are Astros now.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter. They keep winning. Keep
the train rolling.
Because of how deep and talented their minor league system is. The Cooper Hummels of the world.
Yeah. Yeah. That Cooper Hummels fighting for respect.
You know what the Astros should do as a favor? Drop Singleton down for a day. I don't know how that would affect his.
Just drop everyone down to try to win.
Drop everyone who's not going to play over the weekend. Just drop them down. We're gonna a minor league assignment.
Kyle Tucker's.
Yeah, he's not going to give him a couple of bats with the Space Cowboys.
Try to bring home the, I don't know what they call it when the PCL and the International League. I don't know what the
whatever it's called
of AAA baseball.
Yeah, whatever it's called. If you want to be really funny about this, you start dropping down your major leaguers who aren't going to play on Saturday anyway.
Or yeah, some pitchers.
Who needs start? Who needs to get a couple of innings?
Just a tune up, probably like Kikuchi or someone.
He would likely be your game three starter. Yeah.
Oh, then like Arrigetti.
Yeah, throw Arrigetti down there because they're not going to pitch him on Sunday.
Yeah.
Hey, Spencer, you're part of this team, actually.
Got to stay sharp.
Yeah, if not for injuries.
You started the season in AAA.
Yeah, if not for some injuries, you'd be part of this team right now.
Time to finish the story.
Yeah. just have like six guys who are on the playoff roster down there beating the crap out of whoever their opponent is. I don't know who it is. I know they beat Reno to win the PCL. Okay. When we come back, we'll give away the Iowa State Cougars tickets. The Cougs trying to get their first Big 12 win of the season. Had a tough one in Cincinnati on Saturday, but now they have a chance at home against the Cyclones to get to 1-1 in Big 12 play. So we'll give those away when we come back. But first, MyBookie. Just wanted to make sure. And Sean has assured me I do have a MyBookie here. So if you feel better about the Texans than I do going into Sunday, take your shot at MyBookie. They'll have a line for you. If you want to bet on anything in the NFL, you can do that too. So MyBookie is a place where you take your thoughts, your information, and make some money at MyBookie.ag. And, of course, the college football weekend begins. Well, began last night. Temple lost to Army. Got some games tonight as well, and in full on Saturday. So whether it be college football, the NFL, we got the NHL and their preseason going on. You can put some money down at MyBookie. Just use that promo code BET975. They match your first deposit up to $1,000, a 100% match. The Premier League is going on. We got Champions League next week. So if you're big into soccer, MyBookie will take care of you there too. And remember, MyBookie Plus is their loyalty program. It's tiered. You keep betting, You get chance after chance to get big prizes from MyBookie. So take a look at that. If you're a frequent user, they got something extra for you there. Remember, go to mybookie.ag and bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So the Space Cowboys are going to play Omaha in the AAA National Championship game. That's the official title of it, the AAA National Championship game. You're going to be able to hear it on 92.5, I believe, at 9 p.m. on Saturday. First pitch is 9:07. So our Space Cowboys going for the National Championship of AAA baseball. And Joe George is in the building. I only mention that because Joe's a real one. He's got his Derrick Rose jersey on to honor Derrick Rose and his retirement, his Derrick Rose Bulls jersey. I got to specify because that guy's been on a lot of teams. But his Derrick Rose Bulls jersey, obviously, the MVP Derrick Rose at the time. And so I say, as far as honoring legends, Sean with the scheduled hat tips or Joe with the wearing of the jersey, I'm going to give it to Joe here. He wins this one. Not a lot of effort being put in by Sean to schedule his hat tips.
I'm tipping my cap to one of the greats.
Tipping your cap to one of the greats. Okay. And that great is...
No one else has tipped their cap to Justin Verlander today.
Maybe because someone's going to watch part of the game and then do it then. How about that? Got you.
I don't think people are going to be sitting in their homes watching Space City Home Network.
I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about me.
Oh, okay.
The people I'm talking about is me.
Okay.
Miami plays tonight. I ain't got to be focused on college football. I ain't got time tomorrow. And that's before the Georgia-Alabama game, right?
What if on Wednesday, it's a blowout, Justin Verlander comes in the game.
Oh, if he's on the playoff roster?
Yeah, he's on the playoff roster game two. Yeah,
I Wednesday, can't take that chance.
And then, you know, that's his last time on the Astros.
I will tip the cap again.
But I won't be here to tip the cap, so.
You'll be moving. That's true. But he's still scheduling.
I can't guarantee that I'll be able to tip my cap. So
get them all in now.
Get it out of the way.
That's true. Sean, forward thinker. I just think that's not how you honor an Astros legend.
Maybe he gets signed around Christmas or around New Year's, and we're not working. And so thank you for the memories.
Okay, keep getting them in. Congrats. I'm glad you're honoring him in your own way, just in case. There's that. Okay. I don't know if you're going to wear a hat to the Cougs game. Maybe in the middle of it, you get a sense that Verlander's walking off the mound and you want to tip your cap then. I'm going to give you a chance to go to the game for free. Caller 4 right now, 713-780-3776, wins a pair of tickets to watch the Houston Cougars take on the Iowa State Cyclones in their first Big 12 home game of the season. The Cougs, tough one in Cincinnati. They're trying to bounce back, just like the Texans are, coming home and trying to bounce back. The Cougs beat Rice in the last home game. They want to continue playing well at home. We had Willie Fritz on this morning, and he's a new coach. Things are building at UH. You want to go out and support the team? We had the head coach of the basketball team talk about what a program needs for support. You want to be a Big 12 program? You're in the Big 12. Now you're facing a Big 12 team. Go out and support the team on Saturday. So if you're not winning it from me right now, you can certainly go out there and check out the Cougs yourself. And it's their Hispanic Heritage game. It'll be a night of thrilling plays, hard-hitting action, and unforgettable moments. It is a family weekend with the Cougs. The family night special is 4 tickets, 4 hot dogs, 4 drinks for just $80. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS now to get those tickets. Come early, be loud, wear red. And I believe Gallant and George will be giving away tickets a little bit later today as well. So that'll be your last chance because it's tight. Schedule's tight. The game is tomorrow. So try to get you out there. And if not, head on out there yourself. College football's I love it. It's in the city. Go check it out if you can. Okay. That leads us into the slate of games. I mentioned there's a game tonight. You got a top 10 team on the schedule. Miami hosts Virginia Tech tonight. Big line. The line is, at last check, I think it was like 19 at last check. I know Josh Pate, his motto, he joins John and Lance every Wednesday at 9. He has the number at 21 and thinks Miami's going to cover. A lot of the money, public money, is in on Miami. If you're a gambler, generally that means go the other way. But Virginia Tech in their last game lost to Rutgers at home. They got down big, tried to fight back at home, did not win that one. And that's a team before the year people thought could be a surprise in the ACC. So if you have any Virginia Tech stock that you're not willing to sell, this might be a chance for them to fulfill some of the promise they had coming into the year. And I will tell you this, if we're talking about recent history, that Miami team was 4-0 last year, ranked 14th at the time, I think, hosted on a Saturday last year, this time on a Friday. They hosted a middling to below middling ACC team at home, were favored by a big number, and subsequently lost, partly because their quarterback can't read his own, that was Tyler Van Dyke, and partly because their head coach decided kneeling is not his thing. I don't know if that's going to play out again tonight. I'm just telling you, they were 4-0 last year. We're playing a not-so-great team and found a way to lose. So
if I'm Tyler Van Dyke, I'm like, why'd you have to bring up you not being able to read a zone?
Because he threw like three picks.
Yeah, TVD put him in position to win.
No, the running game did. And
Mario
their defense
Cristobal
did.
Took him out of position.
Yeah, because Mario Cristobal was so desperate to get a freshman running back 100 yards.
Also, if they could stop Haynes King.
On three plays with 20, like 15 seconds ago, that would help too. Yes, there are multiple reasons why they lost.
This is going to be a real, how real are the Canes game.
A short week.
Like you laid out, literally last year they lost this type of game. But yes, this is a game that Miami normally loses in the last, 20 years?
Yeah.
Well, 20 years?
Yeah, about 15 years or so.
This is like, oh my God, cannot wait to bet against Miami in this spot. But with Cam Ward, I'm really just ready to give most of the credit to Cam Ward for this.
Yes.
New Miami. Or
whatever you want to call it.
The more, how much more seriously I take Miami now. I think it has to do with Cam Warren. So this will be a good test.
Yeah, the number is 17 right now. Big number. And Sean makes a great point that this may be. Now, they brought it. They've had a good transfer class. For the most part, all those guys have hit. And that can be hit or miss depending on who you target. But this could just be the power of Cam Ward, and that's not going to happen this time because Cam Ward is playing quarterback for the team. And that could be the difference.
I mean, it's not that simple as that, but sometimes it is kind of just
Your quarterback is just different.
He's the best quarterback they've had in 20 years.
Yes, and if that's going to continue, then they should handle Virginia Tech rather easily. I don't know if it'll be by 17, but maybe it's a two-score game. But a lot of the public money coming in on Miami, which usually means, because the public is generally wrong, that this will be closer than you think.
Yeah.
So we'll see about that. We also have not a bad one tonight with Rutgers and the aforementioned Rutgers and Washington. Washington's heading to Piscataway.
Huh. I'm sure they love that.
I'm sure everyone loves going to Piscataway on a Friday in September.
Yeah, they're missing class to go to Piscataway.
Yeah. Now, it's, of course, a Big Ten game. I know, weird.
I don't think you could say, of course, there. I don't think you could say
that's true. How many people know? How many people know Rutgers is in the Big Ten? Forget about Washington.
It also speaks to, like, obviously this is a conference game. No, it's not obvious that this is a conference game.
Not at all. Not at all. It would feel like an out of conference game for two teams who aren't that great, but they want to test themselves against a Power Four school now.
Yeah.
But no, it is a conference game. Rutgers is a slight favorite there. Washington has played pretty good defense. The opponents haven't been great, so maybe that's the issue. Their one loss is a close one to their rival because now they're in the Big Ten, so they have to play Washington State in the Apple Cup early in the year as opposed to the final week of the season. So, and Rutgers, they are undefeated. And Howard, Akron, not great, but the Virginia Tech game was a real test. I kind of looked at that game, rewatched that game yesterday. I didn't watch it the first time. Watched that game yesterday, at least the condensed version of it. And their defense, I like how they played Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech was really stifled early. Rutgers got out 14-0, and that was on the road. I know people in some cases still hold Blacksburg to this thing, this prestige. In the middle of an afternoon on a Saturday, when they've already lost the game to Vanderbilt, Blacksburg's not that difficult to go play in, and Rutgers proved that. And so I don't give them that much credit for winning in Blacksburg.
It was
a road game, yeah.
Yeah, once Inner Sandman ends, yeah.
Yes, whatever.
But I think, and maybe I'm just addicted to defining these games like Miami. Is this a different Miami mm-hmm. game? Is this a Greg Schiano restoring the feeling game for Rutgers? If they win this one, it's a Schiano back?
To the level that Rutgers can be in the Big Ten. If you look at it, they have a real shot to be. They host UCLA. They host Wisconsin.
Nebraska might be, if they win that, yeah, the feeling is
if
back.
They can beat Washington tonight and then they go to Nebraska and win, then you look at their next two games are at home against Wisconsin and UCLA. Yeah. Infinitely winnable.
They could be undefeated on October
25th. Going to USC. Yes. Then we're having a conversation. Look at that.
Yeah, they have a number by their name.
Keep chopping. Look at that. Yeah. Look at Rutgers back. So, yeah, the Washington game will be the first one. Then you have to go at Nebraska. But if you get these next two, you got a real shot to be 7-0.
Look at heading to USC. They do not have a hard schedule.
No. I mean, it's Rutgers, so at some point depth will be a problem. Injuries will hit. You can't sustain it. But if you're looking at it just with a curious eye, they won't be favored at USC.
Yes.
They probably won't be favored at home to Illinois if Illinois is anything what they've shown the first couple weeks of the season. But other than that, the Maryland thing, okay. But they're probably favored in maybe six out of their next. Well, probably pretty much the six games the rest of the way, and they have what, 9 to go. So Rutgers has a chance to have a pretty good year. And if they get an upset here or there, who knows how special it could be.
Greg Schiano restoring the feeling.
that chopping wood thing was cool like in 2007. I don't know if he still does that anymore. But yeah.
Who did he bring out for like, you know, remember 07?
Ray Rice? No. Can you still celebrate Ray Rice?
I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah, so that's the schedule tonight. And, of course, there's some games tomorrow we'll get to in the second hour. We've given away our tickets to the Cougs-Iowa State game. Whoever won that, hope you enjoy that.
Shout out to Alex.
Oh, Alex. Congratulations, Alex. Hope you enjoy that game. And we had a caller who's an Iowa fan rip pretty much the entire Iowa State program. I think he said, you want to see some guys out there who pull down their pants to their ankles when they're at the urinal? That's Iowa State football. I was like, okay.
I don't think he can get that off if he's an Iowa fan.
He also, you can get anything off talking about your rival.
No,
I think.
But those guys that pulled their pants down to their ankles beat you like 2 weeks ago.
That is very true. Maybe you save that joke till next year.
Yeah. What are you doing?
They pulled down their pants to their ankles while urinating, you were watching the entire time.
Exactly.
They beat you. They're allowed to say whatever they want to you. But hey, a rivalry doesn't need logic. Say what you want, even if you did just get beat.
No, it's a good line.
Yeah. So those guys will be in the building at TDECU tomorrow as the Cougs host Iowa State. Okay, we are late. And we'll continue with the college football stuff. We'll hear more from Bobby Sloak as well. I'll get into why passing offense, well, maybe not why, but I'll just give you the numbers. What they say about passing offenses in the NFL. They're down, almost historically so. So we'll get to that. We'll talk about what happened last night in the NFL. A couple major injuries to discuss. So hour one done, hour two coming up. We'll be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.